express yourself.
And good morning. This is Friday Morning Talk Line. This is Joe Moses. I'm solo today. Diane's out for personal reasons. Again, this is Friday Morning Talk Line, where the show is driven by you, the callers. The phone numbers here are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyuk.org. Good morning, Ronica. Hello.
Can you hear me?
You're on the air, live and in color.
Okay. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good, good, good. I'm calling from the swimming pool to let everybody know about the summer camp that we're having this summer. The first session will start on May 23rd and 7th. We have sessions weekly, and those sessions are Monday through Friday, starting at 8 a.m. until 5:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking kids ages 5 to 13. Lunches are provided, snacks, games, and a lot of fun. I think the kids will enjoy themselves. If they're not already doing something this summer, then this is an alternative for the parents, so they don't have to worry about what their kids are doing while they're at work.
Okay, now, what if some of the parents can't afford it or their income is low income?
The parents call in. And then we can make some arrangements for them. I'm willing to work with people.
Okay.
For doing it for the kids.
And what is your number and how can they get a hold of you?
Our number is 907-543-0390.
And what are your hours over there and what days are you closed?
We're closed on Mondays. Our hours of operation are Tuesdays through Sundays. Tuesday through Friday, we're open from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. On Saturdays, we're open from 9 to 9, and on Sundays, we're open from 10 till 9. And again, our number is 907-543-0390.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Have a good one.
You too. We have an anonymous phone call. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, hey.
Good morning.
Hey, can I pretend I'm anonymous?
You sure can.
Okay, I am a procrastinator.
Okay.
All right. The dilemma with intervention there for procrastinators.
Uh-huh.
One knows one is being intervened there when being put into a restaurant.
Okay.
And having to be waited on. A waiter in front, and then there's a waitress in the back. Procrastination.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, we'll enjoy their time for thought.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Again, the numbers here are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. And the lines are open, so if you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear what you have to say. We have another phone call. Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
From Chivac.
Good morning, Chivac.
You know, there's been a lately uprise on a board of directors.
You want to turn your radio off, please?
Oh, sure, yeah. Hold on. Lately, you know, we've been hearing about board of directors, right?
Uh-huh.
And most of them are like maybe 40 and older, theoretically.
Okay.
And, you know, the young one has the right to, you know, apply for that if they're tired of the board of directors that are doing overboard what they've been doing. So why not the young ones that have the opportunity to, you know, apply for that and start something new? Like maybe, for instance, Bernie Sanders has been doing. Who's Democratic, who's Republican around here? You know, who stands out?
Yeah.
So why not do that? As young people, you know, we worked hard of hearing, you know, this person doing this one and that one.
That's
and even man, you know, in Yuchtin, you know, need a little more, need a little more, but in middle age. So,
yeah.
We as young people, we're very young, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're able to get into the board of directors, so why not change that one?
Yeah, you know, when the board of directors has open seats, you could put your name in there if you're a shareholder.
That's right. So as a young person throughout our Yukon Kuskokwim Delta and our Senate and our Congress, you know, we're tired of it, right? Yeah. We are young.
Yeah, you guys have a chance to make a difference if you guys...
That's right. So, we can just jump in.
Uh-huh.
We're tired of 40 years old and plus, so we need to make that, you know, known out there.
If you want to make a change and make a difference, you got to step up to...
As young one as us, we've been hearing that for a long time, so
mm-hmm.
whoever's able and, you know,
willing.
And educational, you know,
uh-huh.
get in there and make that, you know, revolution right there.
Make that change.
That's right, because nobody's going to do that for us except us as young people.
You're right.
Just one good, you know. You know, these 50 years plus older, they had their chance, and they've been talking about years and years and years.
Uh-huh.
Why not one of our young ones from 18 years old and 30?
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, we're on a radio line, Chuchten, and it's about old people.
Mm-hmm.
Why not make the revolution and make it younger?
I'll tell you what,
maybe that will make it change.
Yeah, you start it in your village and maybe people will follow you.
That's right, and it'll go through the whole YK Delta.
It's got to start somewhere.
Somewhere, it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And if whoever's young enough out there, make that change. Every village, make that change.
It's time for it.
Time for it. Illumin. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay.
So, you know, extend that word about the Hawaii, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we need revolution like Bernie Sanders saying, but I know he's an old man.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Have a good morning.
All right. Good morning.
You too. Okay, Renee. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. I'm talking about young people, so this is going to fit right in with that last gentleman.
There you go.
Summer art camps. Summer art camps are starting next week with a volleyball camp up at the high school at 11 a.m. If you haven't signed up, you can sign up at the Saturday market tomorrow or just go up at 10:30. To the gym and sign up for volleyball. That's boys and girls entering first grade through entering seventh grade. So it's a good camp going to be run up there. We're also going to have, and we have openings in these camps currently, digital photography camp is May 30th to June 3rd at the same time as an adult a photography class, same week. So if you're interested in learning how to take good pictures, that's a good time to take it.
Mm-hmm.
June 6 to 10 is growing, preparing, eating healthy foods. And that's 6-year-old to 12-year-olds. June 13 to 17 is creative writing. That's like 9 to 15-year-olds. And then the last 2 weeks of June are art camps. So 6 weeks. We're trying to get stuff for folks to do. If you take 3, you get a discount. Folks can stop by here at the Cultural Center and talk to me or go over to the main campus. I also want to mention that the library will be closed until the end of August. They're remodeling it. So there's no library this summer. The Cultural Center itself, starting July 1st, will be closed Monday, so it'll only be open most weeks, Tuesday through Friday, unless there's a Saturday market due to budgetary cutbacks.
Sure.
And the last thing I want to mention is that we are having a Saturday market tomorrow. Members can come in at 8:30, vendors at 9, and then the public is welcome to have lunch, shop, visit from 10 to 2. So, things to do.
So, Renee, are you helping out the low-income people, too? You're not turning them away, are you, for this program you got coming up for the summer, for the next 6 weeks?
The camps?
Yes.
The Kuskokwim Art Guild is going to do a scholarship of $25 on every single student's tuition.
Wow.
And if there is someone who is in really has no money, I'm sure that if they come in, I can find a scholarship fund somewhere. They should come in and talk to me. And I have a little form they can fill out.
And how do they get a hold of you?
I'm here at the Cultural Center. I work from 8 to 5 every day. Or call me, 543-4538.
Okay.
We have a few of those kind of scholarships that can help. Not a lot, but a few. So
they can get a hold of you and talk to you and fill out this form.
Yep.
Okay,
they
great.
Can do that. And good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you. Have a good morning. Good morning, Fritz. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
How are you?
Good. You're flying solo today?
I'm sorry? Yes, I am.
Awesome. Right on.
So what's on your mind?
Well,
you almost sound like a politician, like you're running for office.
Well, maybe.
Okay.
I'll keep that under wraps for now.
Okay.
But anyways, let's procrastinate a little bit here. It's been a really, really hot topic for the past 3 weeks, I would say so.
I've heard it.
About this alcohol issue.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And it's a lose-lose situation for Bethel. No matter what we say, it's going to get turned down, or somebody's going to oppose it. But, like everybody said, we voted for it, the Bethel voted for it, they spoke out, I went to vote for it.
I did too.
And, you know, it's...
You know...
We've heard on KTUU or statewide news that every village is getting a really huge impact.
Uh-huh.
But, I went to a village probably a week before it opened, or 2 weeks. And in that village, you know, there was ungodly amount of phone calls, left and right, all night long. And it was a dilemma before, and it's a dilemma today, mm-hmm. You know. This alcohol liquor store here at Bethel, I hate to say it, it's going to affect my family, my kids, my grandchildren, if I ever get that age, to that age. It's going to affect my relatives, my family. It's going to weed out the weak ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully it'll calm down afterwards. You know, it's, Noam has it. Dillingham has it, McGrath has it. We don't hear any news about it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's something new. It's not going away. Maybe what the villagers should start thinking about is opting out of local option law. If they want to keep, that's a bad news to an extent, but if they don't want their people to run up here to Bethel to buy a jug and go back home on a boat or a snow machine, drown or freeze to death, maybe they should try to get out of local option law. And if somebody wants to make an order from the village, they can do it right there and have it shipped out on freight, Ryanair. Maybe that's one way. But no, it's the devil's urine that they're drinking, but they're still drinking it. People that go to church are drinking it.
I'm trying to figure out where's the people that had this problem when the bootleggers were bootlegging? I'm trying to figure out, like you said, we the people of Bethel, the registered voters, went to vote, and we chose the outcome of the the election, and, you know, we got what we wanted. We voted for it. This is for the citizens of Bethel. I don't know where it says we're responsible for what happens in the other communities. Where's the people that run those communities? Have them step up to the plate and make laws and force laws and get people to, you know, if they're tired of it, have the community go to the river, and every time a boat comes, give them an option of throw it out or don't come back.
Yeah, there you go. It's, you know, they can do that and stand guard all day and all night right there in front of the village, and people who come back from hunting or wherever search their boat. You know, that's one way of stopping.
I mean, if their village is dry and there's, you know, no booze allowed, I mean, you have a right to do that.
Yeah, especially in the villages with tribal government, which they can pretty much do whatever they want and get away with it.
You know, for a long time, these villages were talking about their own, what's that called, tribal court laws.
Yeah.
Now is the time to step up and enforce
take
those.
Take action.
Yeah.
Grab it and move forward.
I mean, that's what
instead.
That's what Bethel had to do when it was growing. You know, they had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And
then,
you know,
to change the subject, I got quite a few things. Next up is the fishing. We all know it closed last night at midnight, 12:01 a.m., up and down from the mouth, all the way up to Home Lipton, I believe. It closed last night, but the key thing here is the non-salmon spawning tributaries are open, which means, guess two rivers, Joe, just guess.
I wouldn't even know where to start, Fritz.
Okay, there's Gweek River,
uh-huh,
which is 10-minute boat ride from here.
Uh-huh.
Johnson River, which is half an hour boat ride from here.
Uh-huh.
Newmaldick, which is right across Johnson River. Gallup River, which is 10 miles north of Tunt, upriver from Tunt. The Tunt River. And the river below Tunt is Dagiarok. They're all open, unlimited, no gear restrictions, nothing. If you want to hook the whole river from bank to bank, you can. So there is no restrictions in those rivers.
Really? Wow.
So I brought that up a few years back. I don't know. I just keep trying to repeat myself every year, every other year, every same story every year. Those rivers are open, unrestricted. But, you know, it's the state and the feds probably don't want me saying this, but it's the truth. It's got to be said. It's public information.
Well, I don't know why they don't announce it. That's their job.
No, it's
they announce the closures. Why don't they announce what's open? It's only fair, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The reason why we closed 4-inch mesh is people, not all people are
law-abiding citizens.
Law-abiding to whitefish. You know, they say they're catching whitefish for their elders, whitefish for their dogs. No, that's beyond the truth. They're catching kings. They're targeting kings. You can, it's on paper. It's on black and white. 4 years ago, there was only about, 60, 70 whitefish nets, give or take 20. But these past 2 years, from 60 to 70 whitefish nets, it jumped all the way up to over 200
mm-hmm.
whitefish set nets.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell the state and the feds? They're targeting king salmon. So that's what we proposed to the state and the feds when we had a meeting last month to include all gill nets, which is 4-inch measureless. It's closed from today until the 11th, supposedly. That's the projected date that was made by Board of Fish and passed by Board of Fish. It will not open until no later than June 11th.
Wow.
And then going to the city.
Well, good. I'm glad you finally got there.
The state, the city manager was not going to support our 4th of July this year. And she probably still don't. But
say that again.
She is not willing to support 4th of July because of X amount number of reasons. One, financial. Because the city apparently gets paid. No, I take that back. They're always getting paid on 4th of July, whether they work or not. They're getting paid for that day because it's a holiday. And the day after 4th of July, they celebrate the holiday. They observe that holiday. But anyways, I'm not sure what the deal was, but she wasn't willing to do the 4th of July this year, sponsor the 4th of July this year, because I don't know.
You know, Fritz.
Wait, one more thing.
Okay.
She and her buddy, which is the public works director, they don't care about this town. As soon as they get their retirement vested, which is about 5 years or so, she's hightailing out of Bethel and collecting all this money that she made from Bethel, city of Bethel. They don't care about these community members. It's all about the money and not for the community. So what is the council going to do about it? They know what they're doing, and are they taking any action? No. They're going to sit there and give her a raise and give them a raise, and for what? To downgrading Bethel, city of Bethel, where we live? Maybe they should go back where they come from and do the same thing over there.
You know, my biggest problem with these people that you just stated, the city of Bethel, since it existed, the police department, fire department, whatever department and other agencies always been involved with the 4th of July. They put on the best they can when it comes to a parade. And the people here in this community and the surrounding villages come here just for the parade. And we got somebody like the city manager and the public works director saying, we're not going to do that no more. Who in their right mind, who do they think they are?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, like you said, what is the city council going to do about it? You know, that's just wrong. Hopefully Rick Robb, the mayor, is listening like he said he would be, and call, and maybe he's listening. Maybe he can give us an answer to that. But
and then I don't think they're going to cook anything or sell anything at the park, too.
Yeah.
Because there was a person that went directly to the manager and said, no, I'm not going to issue any permits to sell or cook anything.
Yeah.
But that could be just a rumor.
Well, I hopefully...
Don't get me wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Hopefully it's not.
I listen, and if I get another bright idea, I'll give you a call back, Joe.
Yeah, you know, Fritz... some of these points you brought up, they've been an issue for a while. It's just, you know, like I said, sooner or later, when I say we, people that are from here and born here, raised here, we're going to have to make a stand and say enough, no more.
Yep.
It's a matter of when.
Exactly.
So you know.
This year might be a good year, Joe. I'm just throwing that out there. This year might be a great year.
Hey, let me give you an example, Fritz. You still there?
Yeah.
The Bethel Police Department are seeking help to catch these suspects. And remember that guy that went to the council and gave them all the evidence and they didn't do nothing? What does that tell you about our community? What does that tell you? I mean, as a citizen, you give them 100% of the evidence. And what did they do? Absolutely nothing. And now we have, what, 5-6 break-ins and they want the community's help?
Yeah, it's exactly what the government does. Look at our military. Military degraded and everything else that you can think of the book. They did everything to the local Alaska local residents. They did all this wrongdoing. And now they're trying to, okay, we did wrong, blah, 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 but they're not going to admit it. And now they're trying to get it back up to standards again, and they want our help. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's amazing how we allow this to happen to, I mean, in our own communities where these people from the outside. Well, Bethel is made up from people from the outside. You know that, Fritz.
Yeah.
You know,
only,
I mean,
a quarter of each.
We got people from every walk of life from here, but the people that were born and raised here that, you know, that they came, our parents and grandparents, they came from a different village. They weren't from Bethel.
Nope.
So, I mean, but we're the ones that make it, we're the ones that live it, and we're the ones that are part of this community and will be here. We're not going anywhere. I'm not going to take your money and run. I can't.
Yeah, because we live here.
This
is our hometown.
Yeah. My biggest problem is the ones that you just stated that take the money and run, and they laugh about it when they're living a high off their hog.
Mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to get a stink about it down the road. You know,
I wouldn't worry about it, Fritz.
You know, but anyways, you know, heck with them. You know, I'm living my life. All I care about is my paycheck, and I'll be doing that. And if somebody gets in my way, I let the public know, I let the council know, even though if they might not do anything, but I voice my opinions.
Well,
I got a mouth. I'm going to voice my opinions.
That's all right.
Yeah, so if somebody's got a stink, go cry to somebody else because it ain't going to bother me.
Yeah, well, I'll bother you.
Yeah.
Okay, Fritz. Right, good morning. Okay, we got Helen on the line. Good morning, Helen.
Do I have 20 minutes like Fritz?
You got the next hour and a half.
Good morning. I wanted to talk about parents and relatives who know that their child or teenagers or adult unemployed child or persons who are doing this vandalism and ripping off places, they know who their child is, they know what they're doing, and they don't do anything to help them. They can get help for them. There's mental health, we have all sorts of resources in Bethel that are wonderful, and they're being utilized by caring parents, and then you have these neglectful parents and relatives who aren't doing that. I wanted to warn people not to walk alone, inebriated, at Pinkies Park, whether you're with someone who's inebriated too, that you will be confronted by teenagers or who's ever out there ripping off these people. And the other subject I wanted to talk about is suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Every 16 minutes we have a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a teenage son or someone who's 9 to 13, know who your child is running around with and get to know that child, and look out for signs like if they're all of a sudden misbehaving or not having good grades, and wearing lots of clothing or different change of clothing. You need to get to know your child if you're going to have a productive adult. And that's all I had to say. Guyana, but you do a good job. That takes a lot of guts to be on the air. Guyana.
Thank you. Again, the phone numbers here are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. There's some interesting phone calls there. The lines are open. Give us a call. You got something to say about it, or you want to add your, like we say in the radio land, 2 cents worth. Call and give us your opinion. But, you know, some of the stuff that's being said, it's kind of disappointing that this, what I heard from Fritz regarding the city of Bethel not being part of the 4th of July celebration, that would be like mind-boggling. It's to you know, but I hope the mayor, I mean the mayor's listening or the city manager's listening. Give us a call. Okay. Good morning, Anonymous. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
You're on the air, live and in color.
Joe.
Good morning.
I'm going to talk about Chalista voting system or...
Okay.
Just wondering, because I overheard some kind of a rumor or something. I wonder who is responsible for counting the, those candidate votes?
The votes?
The votes.
It's usually done by outside a firm that has nothing to do with the corporation.
So no employee should be, or any employee or the board of directors shouldn't be counting or be involved in the voting, counting the votes or where the proxy, I don't know about the proxy votes, but the counting of the votes or something like that. Because I heard some rumors that maybe the CEO or the, like in 2013, was involved for the counting of votes. And that's a positive thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, right after you, guess who's calling from Chalista? Somebody's calling from Chalista. I could ask them.
Oh, yeah, cool. Could you do that for us? Because we heard some rumors that other people are involved during the counting of voting, and the board members saw them do that before. So maybe it's one of the board people from Chalista. Okay, Guyana, I've been listening.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We got Chalista on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
Did you hear what that caller talked about? Is Chalista?
I heard part of it.
She wanted to know.
Could you just give a recap of?
She wanted to know if anybody from Chalista, from the CEO to the board members, are involved with counting of the proxies?
Good question. That's actually a really good question. I'm glad they asked. For as long as I can remember, all the counting is done by an outside agency, a CPA firm called Ceramic Hightower.
Mm-hmm.
They receive and count all the proxy votes and ballots.
So you guys have no involvement of any kind?
Nope. None whatsoever. In fact, for those that mail in their proxy vote, those go directly to Ceramic Hightower. They never go to Chalista. For anyone that votes online, same thing. The information goes right to Ceramic Hightower. Chalista does not see anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what used to happen, years ago, was the nominating committee could see the final votes.
Mm-hmm.
And any votes that were given to them by shareholders, they could use however they wish. But in this, I believe it was December 2012, that changed.
And what did it change to?
So anyone that does not cast votes for a particular board member and just says, here, Chalista board can use it however they wish, they take all of those votes and divide it equally and evenly as possible among all the candidates.
Okay.
So that way there is no favoritism whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So just to recap, Chalista staff, Chalista board, we do not count or see the votes until they are announced by the Inspector of Elections. They're the ones that count and tabulate everything.
Okay, great.
And then for any votes that are given to the board to distribute to candidates, instead of going to whoever the board chooses, they are divided equally among all candidates.
Good. That's good to know. So what was on your mind? What were you calling about before that question was asked?
Well, it was also about the annual meeting. Two minor updates that I wanted to make sure everyone knew about. So we've already been telling everyone for a few months now that the meeting is going to be July 9 here in Anchorage. And the two new pieces of information, the first is that the meeting will start at 1 p.m., which is when it's usually started for the past several years. But for those who wish to register early, registration opens at 10 a.m. It's going to be at Change Point, not too far from the airport. But here's the other new piece of information. We talked with Alaska Airlines, and they were able to arrange a travel discount for those who want to fly into Anchorage to attend the meeting.
Good.
So the travel discount information is posted on our website. When you go to chilistacorp.com, you'll see a link for annual meeting, and that's where you'll find the travel discount information.
Okay. So do we know who's running for the boards this year that are open?
The packets mail out June 1st, I believe, is the actual date when they will mail out.
Okay.
Once they do, of course, you know, we'll let everyone know. And then so as soon as they mail out, then people can start their voting.
Oh, okay. So are you ready for the summer?
Well, got to get through the annual meeting first. This time of year is very busy with all the auditing and getting all the annual meeting information together. But it's great. It's so important for shareholders to be involved and especially to vote. I mentioned to you earlier in other calls that the average quorum for all of our meetings is only 50.07%. So, just over half, and just a little bit over half of all shareholders are actually voting. And really, I really hope everyone votes. It's so important to vote for the candidates and the resolutions that you support.
Too bad you don't have a better way of getting them to vote, like maybe an incentive?
Well, actually, yeah, there are, for city elections or state elections, they don't have cash prizes, but for Alaska Native corporations, a lot of them offer prizes. And Chilista Corporation has one of the highest proxy cash prizes of any Alaska Native corporation.
Really?
Especially if you vote online, you can qualify for additional cash prizes.
And what's the most you can win if you're lucky?
I don't recall the number off the top of my head. Once it's mailed out, then we'll have the details. But I recall last year one of the prizes was $5,000. You and I have had this conversation before. Neither of us have ever won in the past. But hey, vote online. You'll get extra chances to win.
And how do they go about voting online? And do you have the information of where the website is, or?
Absolutely, chilistavote.com. So that's really easy.
Okay.
When you get the packet, it's going to say chilistavote right on the envelope. When you open up the envelope and look at the voting information, it'll explain you can vote with the paper inside, or you can vote online, and it'll give you your access information.
Okay, great.
And what's cool about voting online is you get immediate confirmation that your vote was received. If you mail it in, you're hoping that the post office delivers it. Haven't heard of any issues, but it could take a while, and you're not sure if you're going to qualify for the early bird proxy prizes. But if you vote online, it's going to tell you, give you a confirmation code and tell you what date and time your votes were submitted.
I'll tell you what, if I ever win, I'll split with you 50-50. How's that sound?
No. Definitely. Please enjoy that all on your own.
Come on, you could do the same for me.
Well, next time we see each other at Red Basket, maybe we can get each other a cup of coffee or something.
Okay, sounds good. All right, Tom, thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Okay, we got Ray from Fish and Wildlife Service. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on the air, and we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, you know, the closure that everybody's concerned about, of course, is a state emergency order, so they're kind of the lead on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's what people asked for from the working group as well as the Intertribal Fish Commission. So I think that's important to understand that we all talked about it at length in these different meetings, and that was the consensus that everybody asked for, was to close that on May 20th to all gill nets. So that's what we listened to everybody, and that's what was put into effect. So,
so that's where it came from.
That's where it came from.
Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, from a biological perspective, we had a later date in mind, but listening to everybody, we respect that. What the communities wanted, what the working group and Intertribal Fish Commission asked for, we provided that. So that's the basis for why that date was selected. I also like to talk briefly about something. The spring waterfowl closure is coming up. Based upon what my field biologists are seeing out there, the nesting is really underway early this year. So in talking with ABCP, we agreed to start the closure on May 23rd, which is Monday, and it goes for 30 days till June 23rd. So that gives folks, you know, through the weekend to finish doing any egg collection they want to do, but that 30-day emergency closure will be in effect on Monday. So I just want everybody to be aware of that and understand that, you know, this is what we've all agreed to do to protect the geese.
Okay, so starting Monday, no more egg hunting.
Correct, for 30 days.
For 30 days.
Correct.
Okay.
So, and I'll mail out this news release to all of the tribal offices, all the tribal administrators in the Delta, and I will also send one to KYUK so you have a copy of that.
Now, if anybody has any questions, how can they get a hold of you or anybody on your staff up there?
Okay, our office line is 907-543-3151.
Okay.
And we'll be happy to answer questions people may have.
Okay. Is there anything else you need to add other than what was spoken about, or is there anything else we need to be aware of?
Those are the kind of key things. You know, we're still discussing this, what we're going to do for the salmon openings this year. As Fritz may have mentioned, I didn't catch everything he said, but it looks like the run will be better than last year. The opportunity will probably be maybe two times more than what it was last year, so we think we can be more liberal than last year. But again, working with State of Alaska, the Salmon Management Working Group, as well as the Intertribal Fish Commission, we'll come to agreement on how to do that probably in the next couple of weeks. And then we'll start discussing when, after the 11th, we're able to open up fishing for everybody.
Okay. Now, I do have one question for you. Nobody seemed to have brought this up, but can people still go rod and reeling with a whitefish hook and try to catch whitefish?
They sure can. The closure is only for gill nets.
Just for gill nets. So, so you could use a rod and reel as long as you have a whitefish hook.
Right. And you can use fish wheels and use dip nets and beach seines. You know, the emergency order identified those as ways to legally continue to fish.
Okay. And there were some tributaries that were not affected by it, mm-hmm. correct?
Well, it virtually identifies the Queeflick River, the Gaseeglick, Kizaralik, the Tulixac, and the Aniak. Those are the only rivers that are closed. Everything else is open.
So Johnson River, Greek, and the ones that were mentioned by a caller earlier, they're open. You can actually go in there and fish.
That's correct.
Okay. You guys are not going to monitor those, are you? You're going to monitor ones that are closed?
Well, we're going to monitor all the rivers. It kind of gives us a sense of what the catch is like. And we'd like to work with all of the villages, you know, as we get into the season, to ask them to let us know what they're harvesting so we can actually be more liberal in our openings. You know, that's really important that we work together with the villages to understand what the harvest is like. And I know that the Intertribal Fish Commission is working on a reporting sheet of some sort that we can get out to the villages there, where people can, you know, report in, let us know what the catch is like, and based upon that, we can make much better decisions on opening up and hopefully be more liberal than we have in the past.
Okay. So are you going to provide this sheet or form you're talking about?
Yes, we will. Once it's finalized and we come to agreement, that'll be sent out to all the villages. We'll work through the Intertribal Fish Commission and their in-season managers that will, you know, get that out to all the villages.
Okay, great. Is there anything else you'd like to add that was not discussed, or
That's about it.
Okay, if you could at least call, not every week, but every other week, and just give us an update, and feel free to call if you have something else to add.
Okay, yeah, I'll try and call in every week, or I'll have one of my folks call in and give you an update.
That would be great. We'd sure appreciate it, because the last several years since this closure started, we've hardly get any information of any kind, and that's basically what the public is looking for. They want to be informed of what they can and can't do, and so forth.
Oh, I understand. I heard that loud and clear during my village visits, you know, the last couple of months, is that this is one of the best ways to get information out to everybody. So I will definitely work with you closely on getting information out to all of our people out here in the Delta.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Roy. We sure appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thank you. We got Alexi. Good morning, Alexi.
Good morning. Yes, so I have only one question, and it has to do with the opening. Last year they had a opening, and the boundary was probably like close to Johnson River on down to Eek Island, I think it was, mm-hmm. or somewhere on there. But last, when they did that, man, they were like over 200 boats or something like that, or over 100. I know it was over 100 boats, because there were so many boats that they were so close together, and there were a lot of people that got snagged, and they ripped their nets, and they were to catch a little bit, and most of them, they were, you know, because they were on their first trip. On their first trip, I think that was the most time they ever caught, was when they had set their net out first time, and after that, caught one or nothing. Mm-hmm. If you could catch two, I wonder if one of the Fish and Games or one of the boards could answer this. Can they move that line at least close, maybe close to Neposkeg or something like that, so the boats will be all stretched out instead of in one big bundle of area? That's what it was last year, and it wasn't too good. I wish they could move it up further, at least close to Neposkeg or something. That way the boats will be all scattered and people will have chance to try to catch fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my only question that I had. Hopefully that gentleman was there could answer that, or one of the
You could call him at 543-3151 and ask for Ray.
Ask for Ray.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully one of them will get on and answer this. But this is what I was hoping this year, but I don't know if it will happen.
Well, maybe you need to be more involved on these commissions.
Maybe.
It comes to the point in our life where if we're going to make a difference, we have to stand up for not just for ourselves, but for everybody. Make it equal.
That's true. We need to share it. And this is what I wanted to make sure, that everybody has something, space, and at least they'll catch a little bit more than being in one bundle, you know, because that space is not very large enough to handle all those boats. They did, but hardly any catches, a lot of snags, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that was my only question that I had.
Okay, Alexi.
Okay, you have a nice day.
You too.
And take care. Okay, be well. Bye.
Mm-hmm. We got Jim on the line. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello? He disappeared on us. Call back, Jim.
Oops, can you hear me?
You're there?
I'm here now.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, I called a couple of months ago for my dad. Remember Jimmy?
Uh-huh.
Jimmy Pete. Uh-huh. And his boat's still missing from the harbor.
Okay.
And no one returned it yet. And I know we'll find it. So if someone took it, I could bring it back to you.
Yeah, that would, you know. That
he worries about it every day, and, you know, he just wants his boat back.
Yeah, that would be the thing to do if someone did
take
them.
I think there's like two or three boats there, too, that are missing same time, so whoever took them boats, I don't know, they should put them back if they're not there.
Yeah. Okay, Jim, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then the cab companies, too, you know.
Okay.
They got to follow rules, you know, they got turn signals, they got to...
Oh, you find you
broken lights. They got a,
you finally noticed?
Sure.
That's been going on for a long time. It's just nobody's enforcing it.
Yeah.
And that's responsibility of the law enforcement.
There's enough cabs here that one cab won't hurt if it's off the road.
Okay, Jim. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, guys. Find the boat.
Yeah. You. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. We got Sophie. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning.
Nice to hear from you. Long time.
Yeah, I've been traveling so much, I never get to listen to most of the English on your big talk show. That's why I never make any comments. But first of all, this morning I would like to say congratulations to you and your helper on YouTube and English talk show.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only place we learn a lot from nowadays because we don't hear any more elders telling stories to the young people and what's right and wrong for them. I thank you very much for being there.
Oh, you're welcome. And what else is on your mind?
Yes, maybe a couple or three. First of all, I would like to congratulate my Traditional Council, young workers, they're doing a good job, but they need a lot of support from the community, and it is their turn to teach their younger ones now that they're the next elders to be teaching. I thank you very much for all of you young workers at the office. You know, as council members, we hire who we trust to work for us. And the second one is we as villagers vote for our city and traditional councils and whatever, you know, whatever board members they're running for.
Mm-hmm.
And the last yuk-to-yuk that I caught was a lot of them complaining about their councils, council members, you know. It's my turn to complain about not only the councils, it's my turn to complain to you, village people. You're the ones that vote for us as village and city councils, and every month meeting, there's a sign that invites you, villagers, to come to the meeting if you have any comments or whining to do. And I would also like to tell you the truth. For those of you that talked on YouTube last Thursday or Monday, it is not to any of the councils in the villages. They are not responsible for your kid's mistake. You are the parents to take care of your family. You are the teachers that raised up your family, not the council members. it is not council members' responsibility to raise your kids. You are the one that born them. You are the one that's supposed to take care of them. You know, my late parents used to tell me, if you love your kids, if you have kids, talk to them about what's good and right for them. Even if they don't listen, they will remember what you say if they get into any kind of problem or mischief. And the other thing that they used to tell me is, if you love your kids, talk to them. If you don't love them, you won't talk to them. So it's not the council's responsibility to correct the mistakes that your family makes in the villages.
Mm-hmm.
It is your responsibility for your family that you raised. You are the, as a parent of these kids that you're complaining about, you are the responsible one. You're the teachers. You're everything to your kids, your grandkids, your kids that you have. Nowadays, our kids depend on their grandparents to raise their kids up. Me, yesterday, I had 7 living kids. I didn't depend on my mom or dad to babysit for me because they tell me, you now have family. You have to be responsible to raise up your son and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Today you see most of the grandparents babysitting for their kids.
Yeah.
And today I don't babysit my great-grandkids. I let the parents know, you're the one that born them. You're the one that's going to raise them up. You're the one that's going to teach them what's right and wrong for them.
Yeah, go ahead.
And, you know, a lot of the villages don't go to these meetings. Why complain over the air because you're not in the council meeting when you're invited? If you have any comments or whining to do, go to your council meetings. The council members are the ones that you vote for because you trust them. Even the TKC and the Jalista board were the ones that vote for them because we trust to let them work for us. And the other thing, no matter how much we talk and talk and talk and complain about this EIS and Burrow thing that's been going on and hearing some stuff about it, where are you people? Where are you people when these guys come around to explain to us about this and that? It is your responsibility as a village to go to these meetings and whine to them, because even we do whine to them, everything's going to pass anyway, no matter what it is we whine about. Even the like the fishing game, no matter how much we whine, it's going to go through, and we're just like being ignored no matter how much we complain to this and that. I thank you very much, and keep up your good work. I'll listen to you.
Thank you. And we got Buck. Good morning, Buck.
Good morning, Joe.
How's the buck?
Okay. I just got back from Washington, D.C., and
it's really
good to be home.
I hope you got some good news.
they don't know me down there.
Uh-oh.
No, I went to go see, because I was in the same building, I went to see Lisa Murkowski and I forgot the other senator, Dan Sullivan, but both of them weren't in their office at the time, so I didn't get to see them. But what I'm calling about is Memorial Day is next weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go to the store either tonight or tomorrow for the VFW and get paint and paintbrushes and put them out there for people to paint their crosses if they want. And somebody graciously dropped off a load of sand or topsoil to put on a grave if somebody wants to work on their grave. And I'll drop his wheelbarrow and shovel so people want to haul dirt to their grave site. So that's between now and next weekend. They'll be able to go work on their loved one's grave and paint the cross if they choose to, if the weather's okay. And the other thing is Memorial Day service at the graveyard starts at 2 o'clock. And then after the service, as usual every year, everybody that wants to from Bethel can come to the VFW and eat hot dogs and chips with Bethel and just come eat hot dogs and chips and fill the kids up with soda pop.
Okay, and you're going to be the babysitter.
not if they drink too much pop.
No, I'm just kidding you, Buck.
They can have all they can eat, I guess, on Memorial Day at the VFW.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the ceremony at 2 o'clock, and then after the ceremony, head over to VFW, get your hot dogs and pop and chips and dips.
So are you going to be at, is there going to be the same supplies at the memorial, the one out by the airport too? Is there going to be same of?
There's not going to be a ceremony out at the airport this year, even though it's the Veterans Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
because so far most of the people in Bethel have loved ones at this graveyard.
Yeah. No, I wasn't talking about the ceremony. I'm talking about, are you going to have the same supplies for those people out there that want to...
The paint and the brushes?
Yeah.
Yes, and there's dirt out there someplace. I thought I said soil for the souls, pile of dirt there somewhere. And,
mm-hmm.
I don't have two wheelbarrows, but there might still be another wheelbarrow out there.
Okay.
But I could leave a bucket of paint and some brushes, too.
Okay.
And we are discussing at some point having the Memorial Day service out there at the Alaska Veterans Memorial Park, but it involves, you know, transportation. Maybe we would have to rent the school buses or do something because not everybody from town here can get all the way out there to Kasaili. But we're trying to figure out a way, and maybe that's going to happen in the near future here, but it won't be this year.
Okay.
So just inviting everybody to show up at the Memorial Day service at graveyard at 2 o'clock on Memorial Day, and then come eat at VFW.
Okay. So you had a good trip to Washington, I take it.
I did. I was going to try to meet with Sarah Palin and.
Oh no, not her.
I was going to. And Donald Trump, but they
him I too.
I couldn't find where their office was because I was
good.
In the Senate building, and neither one of them's a senator, so I don't know where they have. I don't know where the half-term quitting governor's office is, but or the Trump building. But I couldn't find them, so I didn't get to meet with those.
That's a good thing you didn't. Maybe if I went with you, it would have happened.
So, all right. Have a good day there, Joe.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add? You ain't got anything else?
No, that was my Veterans Day announcement. There's probably a lot of people waiting to talk.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Buck.
Yeah.
Casey. Good morning, Casey.
Morning, Joe.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay so far.
Well, good. Hey, I just got an announcement, so I'll be brief, but I mentioned it last week. Next Saturday at the fire department, we're having our annual Memorial Day garage sale, which we're actually having on Memorial Day weekend this year. And we have free tables. You can get one or two free tables to sell stuff. You can call the fire department at 2131. To get on the list for that. And of course, we're going to have all sorts of good food And it's from, if you're setting up, you can start at 9 o'clock, and then the food and the sale goes from 10 to 4. And it's a good chance to just mingle with people. So that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, so what time was this starting?
It starts at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
But if you got a table, if you're going to be selling stuff, you can start setting up at 9.
And what time does it go till?
Till 4 or, yeah, 4 max. If we have enough activity, we'll go till 4.
You guys going to still sell your famous...
we got burgers and brats and nachos and some great desserts that Tammy Rogers makes for us and the usual fare.
The usual shindig.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, if anybody needs to get a hold of you and call you, call
the fire department at 543-2131.
Okay, great. Thank you, Casey.
Thanks, Joe. Bye.
Good morning. Again, the numbers here are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org, and the phone lines are open, so you want to give us a call, give us a call. Okay, I'm going to go to some announcements here. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced the Kuskokwim closure starting May 20th. For more information, you could visit kyk.org. Okay, what else do we got going on here? The Bethel ABE Center at Ute is open all summer. GED classes every Monday through Thursday. Attend a student orientation on Friday the 20th at 9 a.m. Classes start on Monday. If you have any questions, you can call 543-0950. Good morning, Vern. You're on the air.
Good morning, Vern. How are you doing? This is Vern, actually. How are you doing, Joe?
Well, it's about time you called. You've been here long enough.
I know. I've been here a few weeks and just kind of observing what's going on back home here in Bethel. And it's great to be home. Good to see my people from, you know, I've been away for some time away from Bethel. And lots of people talking about issues, you know, locally.
Mm-hmm.
Really good to hear people talking about it. You know, basically I was going to open this statement with what we have here is a failure to communicate. You know, there's a few people that called in, and one of them was Jimmy Pete regarding his boat missing at the boat harbor. During one of my walks this past winter, home visiting for Christmas, you know, I've noticed that the boat harbor does have surveillance cameras located on some of the poles out there. So there's, I think, one or two or three cameras that, you know, are surveilling the boat harbor. I don't know if they're in working order or not, but, you know, that may be a way to check out, go to the city of Bethel to find out if they have video footage of any activity during the time Jimmy Pete lost his boat or his boat was stolen. So... that's one way to maybe look into that issue. You know, I've talked to many people here in the, you know, Bethel area. I know a lot of people, you know, as long as I've been away from Bethel, with some of the issues that are going on here with the thievery, the burglaries, the illegal activities, you know, among some of these businesses, and was wondering, you know, about how the surveillance cameras were working in the cabs. And I noticed, you know, I took the bus one day, and, you know, there's a note on the bus saying that, yeah, you're being observed, there's a surveillance on the bus. So I'm wondering, you know, how that's working with the city government, if they even have that in effect or running in the cabs. And I'm sure there's a lot of crime and bootlegging still going on. I've heard stories the day of or the day after, you know, these cabs are still bootlegging. So they need to step up. The city government here in Bethel needs to step up. I heard, not Alex, but there was a caller previous regarding city employees and the city manager and, you know, people coming out from, you know, outside of Bethel, outside of Alaska. I hate to tell you, you know, it's happening. It's been happening. You know, I left Bethel in 1981, 82, and, you know, what the Western world is coming into Bethel and other villages, into Alaska, and they're coming in droves. People are coming in here into Bethel and other villages or towns, you know, to work for the money, and it's their right. But, you know, when they come in and take advantage and don't know or don't know the knowledge of our culture or traditions, and, you know, it's wrong. They need to respect some of our values out here. And, you know, there's a lot of people out here that have social issues and problems with, you know, drinking. And with the new liquor store, you know, that's a long time coming. And if I was a Bethel voter, I would have a vote for it. You know, people around here don't realize that the bootleggers for years have gotten away with millions of dollars selling booze illegally. So now it's in town, it's here, and, you know, there's a lot of opposers out there that will oppose and, you know, say a lot of negative about it. And it is affecting a lot of people in the villages. One of the callers stated that, yeah, the villages need to control their people or people coming in and out of their own towns and villages. And also, there was calls about the Native corporations, Jalista, having a meeting coming up in Anchorage. So, you know, I you know, one thing I advise all my fellow Native peoples, you know, don't go to these meetings just for the raffles, just for a prize. You know, go to these meetings for the issues on hand, and, you know, issues that are affecting our people in your region or in your town or in your village. Don't go for the money. You know, that's, you know, otherwise it's going to be a losing battle. So go for the issues and speak your mind, and don't go expecting to win nothing, because they're the ones that are making the money. These higher ups are making all the money they can, you know, or they will, and they have that right. You know, they've worked hard, they've got their degrees, their education. We got a lot of people here in the, you know, Bethel area that are very high standard. We got the, you know, couple senators in legislature. You know, they were one, Lyman Hoffman. We got Bob Heron. You know, he was my employer when I was a kid. He was a manager of the Swanson Theater at one time. So these people that are in higher positions, you know the issues and problems in Bethel. You know, step back, you know, look at your own town and your people that are suffering with some of these issues with, you know, the burglaries and the, you know, everything that's going on within our state, you know, within the Bethel City government. We have people coming in from all over running your town. So if you don't speak up, you know, what are you going to do? You can call the radio show and talk and, you know, raise hell all you want, but if you do not get involved with city government or the local issues at hand, nothing's going to happen. Then again, you know, I've done the same thing with a local, you know, hotel, the former Yukon Lodge, with no avail. We have, you know, the city government, we have the mayor who's been on city council for years. He knows the problems. He's ahead of the government of this town. We have the chief of police, Atchie. He's been a member of the city of police department for years. He knows. And I know there's a shortage with police officers, but come on, let's look at some of the issues here in town and, you know, start acting on them and, you know, start acting on these issues that are affecting our people. And the people that are coming in, they're telling their people, you know, there's jobs here. There's, you know, you come, take the money and run. And that's what I'm hearing around town. You know, it's just something I wanted to bring up. But we've got to work together as a Native community, whether you're the CEO of a Native corporation or, you know, a council member, board member. Within our Native community, there is racism and prejudice amongst our own people. But if we, you know, continue to go down this path, we're just going to fight amongst one another, which is not, you know, it doesn't look good from outsiders. And we do that, they're just going to walk all over you all and take advantage of the situation. So, you know, there was a good, the lady Sophie called, and she had, you know, I don't listen to YouTube because I don't understand it, the, you know, 7/8 Yupik, but she had some good points. You know, it's the parents that need to take responsibility of their own kids, and, you know, don't count on the city council or traditional council members to, you know, to solve your problems. If you have a problem within your own family member, that's your problem. That's your issue. You've got to deal with it. But when you have government problems and local issues with bootlegging and the illegal activities that are going on in some of these businesses, we need to step up and, you know, continue hounding the city government, city council, and, you know, unfortunately we have to work with them because they're the ones in charge and they're making the decisions for you all. So that's all I have to say, Joe.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, step up, guys. Come on, this is our town.
Well, maybe you need to move back and run for mayor. I'll vote for you.
No, well, you know, there's somebody local that can do it and step up. And I know there's a couple local people that are on the council, and hopefully, you know, they make a difference. And, you know, given the opportunity, I'm sure they will do a great job. But, you know, come the next election, you're the ones that are voting your these people, these outsiders, these Westerners, foreigners into the community. And that's, you know, you're all's right, and they're right to be here. However, but when they take advantage and, you know, walk all over you all, it's not pretty. So, you know, coming from, quote-unquote, an outsider, that's about it.
Okay, thanks, Vern.
All right, we're on it, Joe. All right,
uh-huh,
bye-bye.
Good morning, Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're very welcome.
With Memorial Day coming up soon, I'd like to encourage every man, woman, and child to plant at least one flower for the Memorial Day. At the dump, there's thousands of gallon milk jugs and water jugs. They make nice planters. Cut the top out, make some holes in the bottom, put some dirt in, plant a flower. Wouldn't that be a nice idea? What do you think, Joe?
Sounds good, Dave.
Will you do it?
Grab them and I'll help you.
Will you take the challenge?
I'll help you.
I don't need help. You're the one that needs help.
Yeah, we all need help.
It's green up, clean up time. This is a good time to plant some flowers. And if you get a chance to visit the ATG Memorial Park, we're getting ready to start up again for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2,000 feet of walking trail if people want to come out and exercise, walk around. If you want to shovel a little gravel and a little dirt while they're there, that would be good. This is a volunteer community project to honor 1,335 men from the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta that defended this country during wartime. Thank you very much, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Good day.
Good day. Wilson, good morning, Wilson. You're on the air.
I'm just enjoying the talk show and listening to what people have to say. And I'd like to say hi to all the happy people out there because it's Friday, and I hope you guys keep in mind last day of school today. After today, there'll be a lot of kids out and about during the week, work week, so be careful with the kids running around doing this, doing that. Mindful of the kids. Anyway, those community members who are concerned about activities for young people,
mm-hmm.
There is a use of a multi-purpose building at a small fee. The number is 543-2608. I think that's the number. For ONC, you can rent out the building and plan your own activity. I've done it for many years, you know, for the youth of the community. Whether I made money or not doesn't matter. As long as the kids had something to do, and I had some influence on, you know, you have to be sober and drug-free, and to the best of my ability, I don't let young people smoke in the area. You know, try to have some kind of community standard for the young people that they have to follow. See, and I've done my part, and I'm still doing it every now and then. And I'm encouraging people out there who have the means, you know, if you want to try to plan an activity, ONC multi-purpose building, that's what that building is there for. It's available for anyone who wants to do something for the community. You know, don't just complain about something. Do it. you know, because that's what I've done for years for our young people, and at least I'm trying. You know, that's the way I look at it. And when I have an event, at least it's, I know there's something for the kids to do. And if I make money, that's good. If I don't, that's good too. At least I've done my part to try to have an event for the young people. Like, you know, that's what we're supposed to do as members of the community. You know, we take care of our own, just like that caller said from the village. And if you have a problem, bring it up to the community, the people on council, and try to iron it out, work it out, come up with a solution, not just bring up a problem. Anyway, since the alcohol liquor store has opened, you know, the rules for cabs still apply. No open containers in the cabs. So I see hundreds and hundreds, as if there was hundreds, you know, a lot of cabs with allowing people to bring in their jug and their beer and their drinking and in the cab, and that's a violation. And it seemed like the Bethel Police Department, I just said it again, Bethel Police Department. Anyway, those people who are in charge of enforcing the law should do something about citing those people, even if it's a nuisance. At least they'll get their attention, and maybe they'll say, "Hey, you can't have that open container in here. You cannot." You know, because that's what I'd do if I was a cab driver. I'd say, "No way! Hey, you can't have that open container here. It's against cab rules. You know, you can't." But I see it going on right now, every day, and that's, to me, is sad. And it's okay if I was to call, but there you go. The dispatcher with the Bethel Police Department will say, "How do you know it was a alcohol? Did you actually go look at it and then see the label as vodka or R&R or Coors or Budweiser? How do you know?"
Hey, Wilson?
Yes?
You have a cell phone, right?
Yep.
It has a camera?
Yep.
You have access to Facebook?
Yep.
Post it.
Yeah, we need to start doing that, and
maybe they'll believe you.
And along with the police department call, you know, they should take action because they're entrusted with our safety and well-being. And
well, they took an oath to protect and serve.
Yeah, and hopefully the ones that are there now would do what they can to help our community instead of allow and persist to have this nonsense going on in the community of Bethel, which is my hometown. If you're born and raised here, I'm happy for you. If you transplanted here as a little kid or whatever, and you still live here, that's good too. But, you know, stand up for your community. Do something good for the community. Try to help young people if you can. Make a stand. That's what I wanted to say. My 2 cents worth.
Okay. Thanks for your 2 cents.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Okay, we got Anonymous. Good morning, Anonymous.
Good morning. I have one thing to say to the parents. You know, they should teach their kids to respect other people's property. You know, when we lose something, we're in something in trouble, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate if the parents teach their kids to respect other people's property, you know, and everything.
Yeah, I noticed lately on Facebook people are starting to post that a lot of stuff are being stolen from their yard, from their boats, their cars and trucks and houses and their property. It's starting mm-hmm. up again, and through what I've heard so far, everybody knows who it is, and he or she is starting to do it again, but nobody's doing nothing about it because I don't know what they're afraid of.
Well, you know, they left everything down, you know, but the tools that they got, and they take the engine apart, and they threw most of the nuts and bolts, and that's when we are in trouble, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Where we can't even fix it up there. You have to go around and go find the nuts and bolts for them. Mm-hmm. And the parents should teach their kids to respect other people's property, you know.
Yeah, that's where it starts, you know. It starts with the parents, grandparents, to make sure that we do our best to teach the next generation that's going to take over the difference between right and wrong and how to respect other people's property.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, got another anonymous phone call. Good morning. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning. I've been hearing you guys issues on Chalista. Like I said, I was the first one called this one.
Uh-huh.
And our revolution needs to start, right?
With
the... On the young voters.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, our elders are going away really fast, right?
Yeah, that's true.
They're dying off the hand, and we need a change on our voting and on our board of directors.
Uh-huh.
And we've been complaining and complaining after 10 years. Nothing's been changed. And we just need to change our, you know, how we look at our board of directors, the age group.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything needs to change, we need to start that one right now.
Yeah, that's true. It starts with you.
Yep, the young ones.
Mm-hmm.
The old ones, right now, they're overboarding on their... stipends and per diems and, you know, extra $5,000 to go to Anchorage or Juneau or Washington, D.C. But that money can be used here in our local
community.
Villages. Yes, communities. Mm-hmm. All our 56 communities.
Mm-hmm.
And why do they keep spending it on when it's bad weather, when they cannot do anything?
Yeah.
You know, they need to start having a government here in Bethel, a building, so with our senators and our, you know, the main hubs. I'm tired of letting them, you know, spend money on that kind of issue, and it never goes past.
Mm-hmm.
Never does. After 10 years, I've been hearing it and hearing it here. Now, I just want those young people that are able and that are very smart, get into the board of directors and change that, you know, there's other issues that's been, you know, left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All righty.
Board of directors on Talista, CVRF, ABCP, you know, even the rest of the small communities, change them. They need to go young ones now. So can you put that on the voice line?
Thank you.
All right.
Bye. Okay, this has been another edition of Friday Morning Talk Line. I'd like to thank everybody that called. Happy Friday. If you're going to go out and about, please wear your PFD. Don't drink and drive. And don't forget, today's last day of school, so watch out for those young ones. Thank you.